The first reading comes from Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command them. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Acts chapter 3. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.'" This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
In case you don't know, Richard's not here. I think you have that figured out by now. I'm Ray Bardill. I'm one of your elders. But most of all, I'm a child of God. I love the Lord. Oh, about 40 hours ago, I was sitting in my house, and I happened to look at the email. And it said that Richard had the flu and would not be able to preach the sermon. I thought, oh boy. And then I waited a little while, and I thought, well, I better call Gar and see what's going on. Well, he was busy. And I thought, well, okay. I waited a little longer, and I said, well, I better call Cindy and see what's happening. Richard was very sick with the flu. And my understanding, this flu is very virulent. And Richard had completed about half of a sermon, but didn't have the sermon complete, and he was woozy, and he would try to finish it for someone who might read his sermon. I don't know what happened. The Lord spoke to me or something. I said, well, I'll do it, because I have something that I think God has spoken to me about talking about for some time. And so with a lot of prayer and meditation, the idea surfaced about sharing with you some of my favorite Bible verses. So I spent all day yesterday reading the Bible and sorting out what are some of my favorite Bible verses. And I want to tell you that it was one of the most joyful days I have had. Reading the Word of God is just a wonderful thing to do. The power of the Word is unbelievable in your heart if you just let it be there. So it was wonderful. So what I want to do, my part in today's message, is that I'm going to read some Bible verses, and I'm going to share with you my takeaway from those verses, that is what I got out of them. Your part is to listen carefully and think about what you take away from those verses. Very simple. You know, we all know that God speaks to us through His words in the Bible. And they're very powerful words. They're Spirit-driven words. So let's look at what God has to say to us this morning. You know, I believe God is with us right here today in this sanctuary. And He wants to hear our responses to His Word. So let's start with my favorite among the favorites. Those of you that know me, you know, could know what I'm going to say. In fact, I had several people in the first service almost yell out what it was. And if you would turn to John 3:16 in your pew Bible, if you would do that, I'd appreciate it. I think it's worth looking at the words as we read them. There's a little bit, I don't know why, but there just seems to be a little bit more power in the Word when we are able to look at it. So it's on page 1052 in the pew Bible, and it's John 3:16. John 3:16. You know, John 3:16 has been described by some, by several people, by one person especially, by Max Lucado, as, let me quote Max, a 26-word parade of hope, beginning with God and ending with life and urging us to do the same. Brief enough to write on a napkin or memorize in a moment. Yet, solid enough to weather over 2,000 years of storms and questions, unquote. Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, says, the North Star, if you align yourself with it, you can find your way home. John 3:16. Let's take a moment to read it. I'll read it. You can read it aloud with yourself, or you can read it out loud. Really, whatever you choose to do, but let's read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's take a moment here to think about that. And what I propose is that we look at some very special words. Let's look at the word God. Let's look at the word love. Let's look at the word the world. Let's look at the words He gave. Let's look at the words His only Son. Let's look at the word whosoever believeth in Him. And finally, let's look at the words not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know what words get your attention. As we go through it, other words may get your attention, but those are the words that got my attention. So let's start with, for God. Let's stop right there. Let's look at the word God. We're not talking about a God, not just any God, but God, our Creator God, our Father who lives in heaven. The God, you know, He is the God we pray to in the Lord's Prayer. How do we start the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, God our Father. You know, some people do not believe there is a Creator God, let alone one who would love us. For some people, we're just a result of evolution, the evolution of some sludge that did something over the number of years and years and years over time, and out popped human beings, apparently. That's too bad. Because John 3:16 tells us we have a Heavenly Father, a God who has a personal relationship with each one of us and with our church as a whole. And that God is here today. Because we say, we will pray, thy kingdom come. We're asking God to be right here with us today. You see, as one of God's own, God is always with us. He is with believers all the time. You know, some people are afraid to hear that. They say, oh my gosh, he's with me all the time. He's here. He's not here to judge us. For God so loved. Let's talk about the word love. We're talking about divine love. It's called agape love in the Bible. It's an action love, of course. But it's a love, I think, that none of us can really comprehend. I don't think we as human beings have the ability to comprehend the nature of God's love, the power and the strength and the width and the depth of God's love. For God loves. One linguist said, agape love, it defined it as an exercise of the divine will in deliberate choice made without assignment save that which lies in the nature of God himself. In other words, we have a God of love, of mercy, of justice, and of righteousness. A God full of grace. You know, it's in grace he saves us from our sins. And then he sends us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live in his love, to grow in his love and his word. For God so loved the world that who? The world. Whoa. God loves the world. To me, that means he loves all of his creation. That means all human beings, all races, all tribes, all genders, the rich, the poor, the ugly, the beautiful. All of us. All of us. No matter how sinful we are. Have you ever heard someone say, no, God doesn't love me. I'm just too, fill in the blank, some kind of sinfulness. My. You remember the song? Just as I am, without one plea, God shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, died that I might never die. Friends, God died for all of us. For God so loved the world, he gave. Let's talk about giving. Our God is a giving God. Think about that a minute. His words. He wants to give to us. Have you ever thought about that? He wants to give to us, to you, to every one of you, and to me. He wants to. And you know what? He doesn't charge us a thing for our salvation. It's a gift, freely given. Think of it this way. The gift of salvation is real. That's a foot stomper, folks. As Pastor Cosberg used to say, that's something really important. I would stomp my foot, but I'd probably fall off the stage if I did. It's God's gift of salvation. I want you to get this. It's real. It's reality. It's what is. Think of it. It's what is. It exists. God's love is. Some people say, and Jesus is. Yes, he is. What did God especially give? Well, let's go a little further. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoa, his only Son? Think about it a minute. Just think about it a minute. Our Creator, Father God, gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. True God, true man. Do you realize he came to humanity as a helpless little baby, born to an unwed virgin mother in a barn-like atmosphere on the straw? How about that for a beginning? God. Jesus, true God, true man, gave up his royal position in heaven to do the will of his Father. You know, I've learned over the years that a number of people are unwilling to sincerely give up anything earthly that they like. And you know why? They don't want to love God, because they say, you know, I don't know what he might cause me to have to give up. If I really love God, what am I going to have to give up? But God came to us. Let me tell you a story. This is a story about a farmer. He's a farmer from the Midwest, the cold Midwest, probably a Lutheran. It was wintertime. One night, he kept hearing loud thumping sounds against the glass in his door window. He wanted to find out what it was, so he checked it out. And he found out that it was birds flying against the window, trying to get in from the cold. They would fly into the window thinking they could fly through it, but they couldn't, and they kept pounding themselves against the window. Well, he thought, what can I do to help them? So he said to himself, okay, I'll go open the barn door. I'll go out to my barn, and I'll open that door. And I'll open it, and the birds can fly in the barn and be in the warmth. And he did that. But he couldn't get the birds to go in. He did all sorts of things. He rang bells behind them. He did all sorts of things, but the birds would not go in. So he thought to himself as he sat there, you know, if I could just become one of them, a bird, I could lead them into the barn. Isn't that the story of the incarnate Jesus? He became one of us. The second God in the Trinity. He became human. True God, true man. God gave us his only Son to die in payment for our sins. Our sins. God's only Son took our place on the cross in payment for our sins. Jesus changed places with us on that cross. And in doing so, he saved us from hell and damnation. Think about it. On that cross, his death and resurrection saved us from hell and damnation. Let's keep going. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him, whoa, whoop, for God loved the world that whosoever believes in him. Let's stop right there. That means you, 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 and you, and me. As sinful as I am, and I am, he died on a wooden cross, a physical and spiritual death, and arose from the dead for me. Oh my. Can you really comprehend that? When I sincerely lay hold of the gospel message, I become one of God's own. I become an adopted child of God. By the way, I want to talk about the words lay hold of. Lay hold of is a term often used by Martin Luther when we do not reject the reality of what God did for us on a wooden cross. Here's a foot stomper. Listen carefully. Are you listening? Promise? God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, does it all for us. It's what he did for us. It's what he did for us. Luther pointed out that before a righteous God, we are beggars. We have nothing to offer. We can't buy it. We can't earn salvation. We couldn't even come close to meeting God's standards for righteousness. Here's another foot stomper. When we sincerely believe in him, that is Jesus, we shall not perish. Don't miss something. I don't want you to miss the two-letter word, in. Believe in him. That means that total belief and trust in what Jesus died for us. That means to know on a personal basis Jesus Christ. That means much, much more than to just know about. A lot of people know about Jesus. The Bible tells us that Satan knows more about Jesus than most humans. Belief in him means that through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we give ourselves to God. We are born again, transformed spiritually. We're changed. The Holy Spirit enables us to want to please God. Here's another foot stomper. Get the difference between want to and have to. Have to would mean we have to earn our way to salvation. Impossible. Our want to comes from the Holy Spirit. We want to love God. We want a relationship with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That says to me, as a believer in Jesus Christ and in his promises, we will not die. We will live with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Forever. How long is forever, folks? How long is forever? Do you know? I don't know. It's forever. You know that's not so for the unbeliever? That's not so. One of the members of our Bible class some time ago made a comment that struck me so powerfully, and some of you have heard me comment on it because it just gets in my heart. She said, listen to me carefully. If you will imagine how it would be like to face God on that last day, or judgment day, and for God to look you in the eye, look you squarely in the eye and say, who are you? Depart from me, I never knew you. As a child of God, that very thought frightens me for anyone who does not seriously believe in Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, eternity will be without God. You see, in the end, there are no second chances. There's no pleading for God, no trying to say, but God, I did this and I did that. Don't you remember? Brothers and sisters, for the unbeliever, it's over in terms of God and being with God. God does not demand that you be with him. Do you realize that? God doesn't demand it. If you want to reject him, you can do it. You can do it. You know, in thinking about that, it took me a minute as I kind of thought about that. I said, I got to find another Bible verse. This has got to be helpful. And it's a Bible verse that's important but often overlooked. Look at your Bible again and look at John. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. Hear this clearly. Again, a foot stomper. In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, we have been saved from hell and damnation. In Christ, we are God's own. We have been redeemed. Our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah! Isn't that worth it? My goodness. You know, the next time he comes, he will come as a judge, but not the first time. He came as a redeemer. You know, that's an important distinction, a really important distinction. Jesus came to love us, to show his love. Let's go to John 16, verse 4. Look at that. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Another foot stomper. It's just got to be. It's clear, isn't it? It's very clear. God doesn't lie. It's the truth. It's what is. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, brothers and sisters, Jesus is. He is. Jesus is. You know, as a child of God, we want to please God. We want to know him deeply. And by grace and faith, we grow in our relationship with him. God provides us with what I call means of grace. I'm talking about our church here. It's your church. It's God's church. We're together in this. I'm talking about Bible-based preaching. Bible-based singing. The sacraments. Baptism. Holy Communion. Bible study here at the church and at home. Prayer. Prayer that seeks the will of God. Meditation, just to name a few ways that we can grow in our faith. Given where we are in this church, I came up with these verses. I want to read them because I think they're relevant to us at Epiphany Lutheran Church. John 13. Go to John 13. Verses 34 and 35. Jesus tells his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. As I love you, not loved, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Finally, let me say this. I believe that living in God's love, get the word love, and will, brings us true joy. Not a problem-solving life on this earth. This earth is just not problem-free. But an inner joy. And the inner joy comes because of a very, very serious thing. Because we know how the final chapter in our life ends, don't we? We shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.